Blog Talk Radio.
Tombstone, the dead man. They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Faint Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday night. It is January 24th, 2018. I'm very glad that you joined me. Like yesterday, we're going to talk about the current events coming out of Washington, D.C., things that are going on, and hopefully we'll make it through this. All right. So, let's start with a new day has dawned. And, of course, if you heard about the tragic shooting yesterday, and, you know, I assume that everybody here in America did, there was a shooting in Kentucky. This is the 11th shooting in America in a school this year. And this is January. We're at the 24th. 11 shootings. Now, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that Trump has mobilized the Department of Justice to file more charges, to be more tough on crime, that they have made more arrests and crime is down. But it's the 24th day in school shootings is 11. So the evidence doesn't follow. And mind you, this is after she tried to say 3 seconds worth of, okay, our sincere condolences, and that was going to be it. Then they were talking about leaving for DeVos and, you know, the president's intent to hobnob with the richest of the rich. Literally, it was almost a glaring omission of any real intention there. It was kind of like, okay, yeah. And the problem is that, you know, you could tell that she had more ready and was reading it off when she was asked something about it, versus really an intention to feel something for these families that are going to go through a really rough time. There were 2 fatalities, a young girl and a young boy, both died, and more were injured. It's a terrible tragedy here in America that we have more guns than common sense, and we have more children dying in places that they should be safe than we should ever see. So while overall crime in America has been on the decline, and I think that's because we've changed legislation over time to, you know, punish for longer terms and be more serious about the crime, we're really failing when it comes to taking care of these children. You know, you should be able to send your child to school and know that they're safe, period. So anyhow, the President of the United States had not yet acknowledged the fact that there was a school shooting, the fact that there was fatalities, until after the Prime Minister of Canada had done so himself. I mean, he literally called. He called to Kentucky, and he said, look, I'm sorry to hear about this. This is terrible. He actually spoke with officials in Kentucky and let them know, look, Canada's with you. We're sorry to hear this. Long before it was ever acknowledged on Twitter by the President of the United States that the shooting had ever happened and that there was any kind of sympathetic emotion towards that direction. They're just so planning on you know, leaving for this, I guess you could call it a festival, that basically America and children dying here didn't matter. So another thing that's going on, and this is probably, you know, a bit distracting as well in the background, is Trump is due to meet with Mueller. Now, this has been a couple days we've been talking about this. It was first released, and then it's been verified that, yes, he does want a meeting with Donald Trump. So what's going on in the background is probably, you know, lawyers are scrambling. They're trying to get affairs in order. You know, people need their stories straight, which good luck, because, you know, I know that he's caught people in lies already. So it's going to be interesting, because either Donald Trump has to come into the sensibility of checking with everybody what lies they told and try to tell them similarly, figure out what emails he all has and what he could possibly, you know, say that wouldn't get him in trouble, an amalgam of things. So I'm sure that they're scrambling in the background. I'm sure that there is some nervousness because we all know Donald Trump is not being interviewed as a witness. He is being interviewed as a suspect. So at this point, it has been confirmed that they are looking at him in a suspect light. All right? Now, another thing that's going on, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know why Republicans continue to boldface lie. I would say that Democrats are not 100% honest. They tend to kind of curve the truth, if it were to be said. Sometimes they have lied. But the degree of lies, which are verifiable from Republicans' mouths, it's astounding. So Paul Ryan is, you know, saying over and over, and it's like he's trying to convince himself that, you know, job creation is up and that people are bringing home more pay. But the truth is the numbers aren't there, and it doesn't follow. Sam's Club is closing 63 stores. You have banks closing stores, Kmart's closing stores. You have various places around the country that are closing more stores. And that means less jobs. Walmart went and gave their employees a bonus, and everybody's like, oh, look, Walmart gave their employees a bonus. You had less than a couple years there. You got like 250. 2 through 10, I think, still was 250. If you had been there 20-plus years, you got the $1,000. But then what Walmart went and did is once that they did this payout for the people who had been there 20 years, it's like that it brought to light that these people had been dedicated there so long, because what they went and did then was fired thousands of middle managers to replace them with cheaper paid people. So I want you to really think about that. When Paul Ryan says that there's more jobs, people are bringing home more money, first of all, the IRS itself has said, look, we are dealing with how to help companies change what taxes they're taking out of people. So it's not implemented yet, and it likely won't be implemented till February. So these companies are going through looking at the new tax law, looking at the percentage that they need to take out of the employees. It hasn't happened yet. This has not been brought into effect, because when you do a major overhaul of tax to set up to enable that, especially because, you know, this took effect January the 1st. We've only had 24 days for companies to really pore over these laws, see what all has changed, what they need to be doing, what they don't need to be doing, because this is going to affect state taxes, this is going to affect city taxes, this is going to federal. So you have this dynamic where you can't expect a person to just look at the new tax booklet and if you've ever looked at a tax booklet and not been confused, good for you. You're astounding. Because for me, when I sit there and look at the tax booklet and try to read through, you know, the legislation myself, it's overwhelming. Because if you have A, then you have B. And I'm sure you can understand, it gets quite in depth. So I can't understand why he is trying to say that people are already bringing home more money when companies have said, look, this isn't something we can, you know, put into place overnight. Another thing that's happened is when Senator Schumer pulled the money for the wall off the table, and we were talking, I thought it was going to be $18 billion, but I was astounded to learn that Republicans had asked for $25 billion for this wall. $25 billion. Do you know how many homeless, how many hungry, how many poor, needing health care people that could help? That number is phenomenal, phenomenal. And we're going to spend it on a wall, which has already been proven that, look, if people really want to come here, they have numerous methods, crossing rivers, digging underground. They will find a way around that wall. it's not impenetrable. I mean, they have built prototypes for these, 9 different prototypes for this, to see which one would be the most effectual. And I've seen them, you know, there are pictures floating around of these prototypes. Some of them are just like straight up, and then they have like a curve to the top. I hate to tell you, but anybody with any kind of sense would know about a grappling ladder, okay? So basically it has hooks at the end. You can like literally throw it or manage to hook it upward. And then like it's a ladder. It's hooked on. It's a ladder. But there are these massive tunnels systems that run from Mexico into Southern California. And they're absolutely, absolutely astounding. Now, these were drug running tunnels, and the government currently knows that they're there. They're closed off. They're monitored. But this is something that I'm saying, there are other places in this country where this could be done. So if we think that a wall is going to be effectual, if they actually wanted to come here anymore, because quite frankly, I think that the air surrounding what's going on in this country right now reeks really bad of fascism, and no money is worth the kind of humiliation, degradation, treatment that they would go through. But we're already hearing stories about abuse and rape and horrible things happening in these detention areas. So I don't know that anybody would want to put themselves through that just to earn money that isn't going to be there, because Trump is also losing jobs at a phenomenal rate. You know, he is really angering a lot of countries. Which, speaking of jobs, Canada made an agreement with Asia to go ahead and enter the Trans-Pacific trade without the United States. So even though we have decided that it wasn't good for us, which, by the way, this cost us millions, because we would have been able to sell our beef overseas. This was a good deal for American farmers. And a lot of people stood against it. And, I you know, my listeners, I don't know where you stand, but basically Obama made a deal where we benefited from being able to, you know, sell our products on the Asian market and get them out there in such bulk that we would have benefited massively from this. This was a good deal for America, you know, and it entered us into another dynamic, because whereas we have Mexico and we have Canada, our close neighbors, and we've had NAFTA, okay, North American Trade Agreement, which was between us three, we were then expanding that across the seas. So corn, whatever we're producing, we could have sold over there. And because of Trump, because of this negativity, because he picked up on this, and Obama was for it, so instantly he's against it, now we're losing out those millions of dollars. And another place that it's interesting that Trump doesn't care if we make dollars is one of the headlines that I have here is he won't open the coastlines in Florida. So he's opening coastlines around the country, but not in Florida. And when asked why, they said, well, the currents are different. The current is different because the current flows right up to his golf course. And the one thing that Trump doesn't want to do is lose money for himself. So, of course, Mar-a-Lago being right there, he wants to make sure that there are no oil spills, because he doesn't want to besmirch the beaches close to his golf course so that people won't want to come there. That's just the thing that this current administration is all about, their self-benefit and none about the American people. And I don't know where you stood before this election or what you thought about it, but I already understood who this guy was coming in. You know, it had only taken me, I think, a couple of shows of The Apprentice to really look and go, what is this guy? I remember the last one that I watched was he had a bunch of people and he was convincing them that they needed to sell this bottled water, and whoever didn't sell the most, you know, they would be fired. So you watch these people run around, they get the labeling, they get the bottling together, they go to the stores. They talk these owners into starting selling this product. They're trying to move this product. They're really working hard. It's not that I don't believe anybody should do, you know, hard work for the company that they work for. You absolutely have to have some kind of form of dedication to your role. But it was the point of these people weren't making any money. They weren't being paid. They were trying to volley for an apprenticeship or, you know, a later position. But it was the way that he chose to humiliate them and treat them so low when they didn't sell what he thought that they should. And I saw how his behavior was with these people, and I couldn't justify that anybody should be treated like that during a time when you're trying to learn how to motivate yourself forward to gain this position. Like, he's getting all of the benefits. They're getting none of the benefit from this. No money, no anything else. And on top of that, you're adding humiliation to the game. And I just, after that, I wanted nothing to do with it. Then later I learned about Trump University and it being a scheme where he forced, quote-unquote, teachers to put their own money into it as an investment, which later, you know, obviously these people lost a lot of money in this university. He did eventually settle and had to pay back $25 million. So he has an entire history of not dealing well with other people and being very self-centered, which is why the Melania story is so interesting to watch, because one thing that you haven't seen is him trying to cancel this trip or change his plans so that he can deal with the hurt that he has dealt to her, because this is a very public story. And, you know, some of the pastors are saying that, look, we're going to give him a mulligan, which it's symbolic of getting another shot, another stroke. And, you know, obviously people have brought up that probably a second stroke isn't what he needs with Stormy Daniels, okay? But this has got to be hurting to her because her whole life is on display, and it's embarrassing. But more is, there seems to be no remorse from his corner. He seems to feel very entitled to be able to use people as he pleases and dispose of them at will. So, you know, I think you have to look at that and what's going on. Now, Trump said that he's going to be glad, quote-unquote glad, to meet with Mueller. I want to see him the day before, 2 days before, you know, what he does, because I think that whole tone is going to change. I'm very much looking forward to seeing all the things that he says on Twitter, especially with the newfound information that's come to light about him asking the FBI director who he voted for in the last election. I mean, he obviously has a pattern of wanting to eliminate any kind of, you know, it's so terrible when somebody who is your, you know, your boss can ask you who you voted for, because it's intimidating. Because if you don't answer, you feel like, well, I'm jeopardizing something. If you answer in such a way where you say, well, I'm a Democrat, sir, and I voted for, you know, Hillary, especially that's going to light a fire under him to create this whole picture where you're suspect, where possibly you're potentially his enemy. And that's, you know, he vilified James Comey and then got rid of him. And he used Jeff Sessions to do so. And I don't think that Jeff Sessions has the moral compass that he felt bad about his role in firing of James Comey. So, you know, I look forward to seeing more attacks on Bagation into Russia, more attacks on Mueller, more attacks on the credibility of the FBI and these independent investigations before it comes down. And I look to seeing him fighting with Jeff Sessions. I think that those things are going to occur. And, you know, from his history, you can pretty much figure that that's going to be the role. Now, I don't know if you're on Twitter, but if you aren't, you should be, because it's a great place to kind of keep up with what is currently going on in the country as well as worldwide. I like following people from around the globe because it kind of gives me some insight into what's going on around the world, what they think of us, what they're talking about. I mean, we have lost a lot of confidence. Britain thinks that Trump is a bloody idiot. I totally agree with them. He's a big mistake. It says a lot to me that the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, called Kentucky and said, you know, our condolences. I think that the world sees that we really don't have leadership right now. What we have is just somebody occupying an office who is making money for himself and his family. And another thing that just recently happened, like literally within the last couple of days, was Ivanka. She changed her Twitter account from saying that, you know, she was for women and empowerment. She took that moniker off there. And people caught her on it and called her on it. But truly, and I felt this way myself, I don't think that she can speak for empowering women when she has people working in a sweatshop, and she's notorious for not paying them well and not paying them even the minimal wages that China expects, not paying them overtime. And then she's talking about empowering them. Well, I don't think that slavery is a form of empowerment, and I don't think that sweatshops empower anyone to feel like they're having a better life. So that's a few things that are going on around the country. Now, I know that coming up, you're going to want to watch. There is a man on Twitter, and I absolutely love watching him. He runs up on NBC and the news a lot of times. He's a very credible man. He's actually who helped break some of the story with Donald Trump and Russia. His name is Scott Dworkin. He goes by the Twitter handle of Funder. Okay, F-U-N-D-E-R. He has discovered pictures and evidence that, you know, you don't know why other people haven't uncovered them. Perhaps they don't know the right place to look, or they're not looking, you know, at it from the perspective that he was. But he's uncovered a lot of evidence and has shown that, look, here's, you know, pictures of Donald Trump Jr. with Russian oligarchs and Russian mobsters. And he's a really amazing guy. So, I'm not getting anything out of throwing his name out there. I just think that if you're going to follow people on Twitter, there are some really powerful, potent people out there to follow. And since I am doing the show about politics, he loves to get into it. And he obviously can't stand Donald Trump or what he's doing to this nation. And, you know, yesterday I talked about ICE and their behavior. And I want to tell you, today I was going to do a show, and I was going to talk about the role of fascism because, you know, when ICE got onto a bus and asked people for their papers, there's a video of a young girl on there crying, and her story was that, look, my grandfather escaped Nazi Germany. He came here. He went on to have a wonderful life here. He obviously got married, had children. They had children because this is his granddaughter. So he happened to be on the bus in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, when ICE got on and demanded that everybody show their papers. He didn't have papers, and he was arrested. And it breaks my heart because this man survived the Holocaust because his parents threw him. He was on the train. They were headed to the detention camp. His parents pushed him off onto a carriage. He managed to escape Nazi Germany. He was Polish. This man was of Polish descent. So he escaped Nazi Germany, came to America. Now, during this era, it is hazy because, you know, some people got into here without the right paperwork. Some people didn't. Some people changed their name, said that they were people that they weren't, etc. This man obviously didn't have legal papers for being here, but he had been here, I mean, let's look at how long ago this was. This was his refuge in the storm. You know, this is where he came to escape the horribleness of being hunted down, of being forced to show your identity. Man lives a lifetime here. This is his home. He has made a family here. He has made a wonderful, amazing life here. And we turn around and in the latest years of his life, he faces again being singled out for who he is, for not having paperwork. And you can say, well, he was illegal. I can't say that with my good conscience. I don't think that this is the right thing to do to human beings. I think that if you've been here a sum total of years, if you've learned to call this home, we should have that forgiveness in our hearts that, hey, however you got here, you're contributing to America. You're not committing crimes. And I don't mean the crime of crossing a line, an arbitrary line on a map, a border, okay? I mean the crime of raping someone, murdering someone, child molestation. I'm talking about breaking and entering, theft. I'm talking about real crimes that affect other civilians here in America. We are not really affected negatively, profoundly negatively, by people crossing an arbitrary line on a map. We are not. Because that's how our ancestors got here. My one ancestor, Sir William Johnson, he came over here on a ship. His uncle called him over, you know, obviously he was in his later years, and he knew that, you know, he wasn't going to make it forever. He called him over here and he gave him land. And Sir William Johnson didn't have documents saying, okay, here I am to be American. He came over without having to have any paperwork. He just showed up and was fine to come in. He then set up a fur trading post. He had the land that his uncle left him. He worked that land, you know. He married. He had children here, obviously, because here I am today. And he didn't need those papers, but he still contributed to, you know, the country around him. Now, obviously, I'm not going to get too deep into his history because Sir William Johnson was not a great guy. He actually fought on the British side. It's a whole thing. He wasn't a very good man as far as that part goes. I don't know. I would probably feel differently if Britain had won, but America, the revolutionaries won. So here we are. And I think to myself, my ancestors came here without paperwork that told them that they had the right to be U.S. citizens. And here I am, a U.S. citizen by birth, because that man came here. He was born in Ireland. He's still Americanized, lived his life here. His children, were American, lived their lives here, etc. This is how we should treat people. We should have some kind of program here in this country where we allow people to later get their citizenship if they've had enough years here. And I don't think they intuit them that we justify whatever they do here. I think that that says that if you're here and you haven't committed crimes here and you've done good, you've worked, you've started a home, started a family, done some good things, we should be welcoming and call these people citizens. They have contributed so much to our society, to our even our dinner menus. And we should be thankful for that. Diversity is the greatest thing that America has going for it. So I just want to say that from the bottom of my heart, I feel terrible. I think this is something that we need to be terrified by because this is a form of fascism. When you have people who behave like the Gestapo, who get onto buses, who demand paperwork while breaking the law themselves because they're legally not allowed to ask for paperwork as proof of your citizenship. So they were breaking the law themselves to enact this and hurting people, you know, because obviously they arrested somebody who had spent so much time here. So I find that rather disturbing. The people who maintain that they're you know, enforcing the law are the ones breaking it, and in such a way that they're violating some other person's rights, and that that person has no recourse. So we need to be more conscientious around this country about the people who we deal with globally and locally, because these people aren't just quote-unquote illegals. They are human beings, and they deserve the treatment that a human being should get, and they don't deserve to live in fear that the place that they have called home for so long will be stolen away from them. And that's what Trump has said. He has said that without the funding for the wall, he will not sign anything off on the Dreamers Act. And that's where we stand today. And I think that's where we're going to stand for a time. You know, and we face in 3 weeks from now that we're going back into seeing if we can, you know, funding bill that continues for a year, 2 years, whatever. And in 3 weeks' time, if DACA isn't decided, then we're going to be back at square one where the government is shut down. I think that if you're going to do it once, just do it right, get it over with, right? I could be wrong. I could be. Maybe it's better to have government functioning and keep trying and keep trying. There's no easy solution here except for Republicans refraining from this hideous behavior where they want to vilify other people and throw them out of this country based on the color of their skin, okay? Now, the story that I just gave you was a man who is Jewish, but that isn't really the target of what ICE was doing. You know, they happened to come across him, but we know the real target was brown people, all right? Especially with Trump's comment about shithole countries. It's absolutely absurd, and it's offensive. If you're listening from another country, si estás escuchando en otro país, disculpa nosotros, porque los americanos nos sentimos igual que Trump. Él está nuestro presidente, pero no se presenta como presidente. Más se presenta como un criminal. Y por mi corazón, yo no siento como él sienta por ustedes. Yo digo en mi corazón que bienvenidos a quien quiere venir por acá. Mi país es tu país. Si quieres compartirlo conmigo, trabajar, tener una buena familia aquí, todo eso. Ya no tengo problemas con otra gente del mundo que venga a mi país. Yo pienso que nosotros estamos más fuertes cuando hay otra gente aquí de otros países que... diversidad, unidad, está mejor peleando y pensando que unas son criminales solo porque es donde se venga. Me encantan los latinos porque están muy cariñosos, tengan rico cultura y me cae triste de mi presidente se quiere poner un pared, separarnos, que él deja quien está aquí, ser americanos, porque si usted quiere ser en mi país y ser americano conmigo, está bien. Y discúlpanos, por favor, porque es demasiado peor lo que está pasando en mi país ahorita. And what I said is, look, if you're willing to come to my country and be American with me, I'm more than willing to embrace you. I think diversity is beautiful and that it's what makes us stronger, not what makes us weak. And unity makes us all better people. Division doesn't. So till next time, take care of each other. Take care of yourself. Keep fighting. Stay with the resistance. Continue resisting with all of your heart. Get out and vote. Get people to vote. Let's work towards a better future for everyone. Until tomorrow, take care, everyone. Good night.